Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. So welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is currently heard in 28 countries, such as the U.S., Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, and New Zealand. So thank you from everyone around the world who is listening to the show. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the story of why we are doing what we are doing, which is very, very important, why we are doing what we're doing, and how we are helping others to transform. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. On the show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. If you have any questions for any of the guests, this is a live show, so you can call in at the number 657-383-1109. Again, if you have any questions throughout the show, have anything for the guests, a legitimate question for me or my guest today, you can call in at 657-383-1109. And my guest today is no different. Amazing, impactful, energetic, in to say the least. So I'll help you welcome to the show, Sasha Sabbath. What is happening?
Oh my God, I love your energy. What's happening is way too wide of a bandwidth. You got to narrow the scope here.
Right?
Yeah, really.
I am so pumped to have you on the show today. Like, this is going to be super, super amazing. Like, I was reading through all your bio and everything. Like, I cannot tell you how excited I am to hear about what you're going to talk about today.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same way about you, you know, given your background with the military and your energy and you are in your rich family life. I mean, this is really quite an honor to be with you. So let's get the party started, right?
Let's do this. So this episode is titled Succeed in Sync with Your Soul with Sasha Sabbath. Sasha Sabbath is internationally recognized as a soul purpose expert, master sound and energy healer, emerging public speaker, spiritual business coach, and entrepreneur's intuition and purpose soul coach healer. With 30 years experience, she facilitates her clients, students, and audiences in removing blocks to their success, accelerating intuition access, claiming a deeper embodiment of their soul purpose, and by igniting their creative genius for soul-sourced solutions. She does this by implementing her Divine Triad Toolkit, a customized personal and business mentoring system where she activates broadcasted divine energy called the Transmissions of Grace, Celestial Toning, Sound Healing, and Intuitive Energy Scan Readings. Her message? Succeed in sync with your soul. Her mission is to heal the heart of humanity through mentoring soul purpose guided business owners and through the reverent honoring of other species brethren. Sasha is also an animal healer and intuitive. Sasha is trained as a Reiki master, Soma Pi energy healer, hypnotherapist, neuro-linguistic programmer, certified print personality profile coach, true purpose coach, passion test facilitator, and has studied various forms of intuition, energy healing, and empowerment success coaching systems. Sasha customizes each of her mentoring packages where her clients and students accomplish their goals through her Spiritual Power Success Essential System, which is intuition development, soul purpose clarity, and energy healing management techniques. For more details, you can visit her website at www.entrepreneursoulcoach.com. You can email her at Sasha@entrepreneursoulcoach.com. And you can subscribe to her complimentary Soul Purpose Success Tip Series at www.entrepreneursoulcoach.com/success. And then there's a little dash, success-tips.html. Holy moly, lady.
I know. Otherwise, my life is really boring, let me just tell you.
I'm just saying, I know what some of that stuff is. I'm just going to read it because I have no idea what that is. Something about some energy this and some healing this. And there's a lot of healing going on.
Yeah, well, it's needed, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Here's what I love, okay? So business coach, got it. Energy healer, got it. Heard that. Purpose coach, everybody's a purpose coach. Everybody wants to talk about purpose, right? But here's what I love. Here's what I love, okay? Where you say
tell me.
That you are a neuro-linguistic programmer.
Uh-huh.
That is amazing. You know why that's amazing? Because a lot of people don't know what's in their brain. What is in your brain? Why do you do what you do? Why? There's always what's in our brains? Why do we think the way that we do? It, like, when I hear the word neuro, I'm like, yeah, because it's all about our brains, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the neurolinguistic programming and the hypnotherapy work is very similar. So you just ask me questions, and I am ready to hit the play button.
This is amazing. So the first question we always ask on the – oh, by the way, can I just compliment you on your badass bio? Like, whoever wrote that, if you wrote that, whatever, like, it is literally industry standard. Like, if anybody took anything away, like, go back and just listen to the bio. I just want to point this out because this is probably one of the best bios that I've ever read, but it's so industry standard. Like, what you do, bam, 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 right? But I love it where it says, she does this by. A lot of bios I read are like, oh, I'm a coach, I'm a this, 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 and I help clients to do this, this, and this, and my clients get this, and that's the bio. But there's no how in there. That's the huge missing part. I just want to lay that out there. If you ever, Life Transformation Radio listeners, if you ever want to have an amazing bio, copy this format. Like, just copy the format, just saying. My bio is the same way, you know. How do I do this is in there in the bio. It literally says, I do this by. And some of the amazing people on the planet, that's what their bios say. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. I do this by my message. I also am this, and this is how I do it. Boom. And then, you know, so, yeah, amazing bio. Anyway.
Thank you.
So,
well, you know, can I just say something there?
Go ahead.
I just insert something? Yeah. I think that the important thing for people to know, and this also branches out in what we'll be talking about further in all the different topics I'm sure we're going to touch on, is it's really important for people to know what's in it for them. And when you go, in this particular case, since you're talking about my bio, when a person realizes how I do what I do, it is couched within how they can then see themselves as being resonant with or being a recipient of that kind of style or that kind of paradigm or that kind of approach or that kind of result that would be appropriate for them. So it is important to put that part in of how I do this, because the next logical place that the mind goes is to receive that kind of result so that you become, so that you have, so that you can experience. And then it's the desired outcomes that they want to become, they want to experience, they want to have.
Awesome. I love it. And thank you for clarifying. I think when I read bios, some of it I'm like, what? And then other things, like, I want to say that I'm a pitch expert, but everybody's an expert at something, and I'm sure people are way better, you know, pitch experts and can develop pitches and bios or whatever, but I just, I know what it's supposed to be. Like, I'm really, really good at knowing what the bio is supposed to be. I know what the pitch is supposed to be. I just know, right? And so I analyze people's things. I'm like, yeah, like, look at the format on that. Like, I love that. But this is literally the format that you have to have. Like, if you're going to pitch something, like, this is it. So.
Well, I love that you're telling this to me, and I did write it. And what's interesting is that, you know, given that I'm an intuition instructor and so on, as I have written a gazillion generations of my bio over the 30 years that I've been in business, this one felt like it had the best flow. And
oh,
so
awesome.
Thank you for the feedback. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Is awesome. So the first question on the show is always why. If you're not waking up in the morning and asking yourself why you do something, you're way behind the power curve. Simon Sinek has a great TED Talk, and I talk about this on the show almost every time, but Simon Sinek has a great TED Talk where he says people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And so the most important question we can ever ask ourselves is why. When there's a breakup, when someone passes away, when bad things happen, we always question why. But when good things happen, when the blessings come, we don't say, well, why did this happen? How did this, man? Like, nobody does that. They're like, yeah, that's supposed to happen, right? We always think that good stuff is supposed to happen. So every day I ask myself why. And so your first question today is why? Why do you do what you do? All that stuff that I read in your bio, why do you do what you do?
Great. Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to do a little sidebar here and say I'm going to really go out on a limb here. I think one of your whys, if I may be so bold, yeah. may I finish this thought?
Sure.
Is that you've got a household of little adorable kids, you know, and you just got a new one that just is like, what, a couple of months in this world?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Really?
So I think we all kind of have an idea of one of your whys. So I just have to say that because I have such respect for responsible, loving parenting, especially at this time with what's going on in the evolution of humanity and the rigor of what's taking place in our country. So anybody who is bringing new little beings into this world at this time, I feel, are up to big things, big learnings, and big contributions. So that's just a little PS to at the end of this entire talk. So,
awesome.
All right. My why started with survival. So, meaning, I was
born. Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that your why is always coming from a place of personal moment, right? Like your personal, like inside, like sexual advocates have been sexually assaulted. Suicide advocates have been, you know, they've gone through suicide. You know, people who were had family members killed in drunk driving are usually like AADD. That's how Mothers Against Drug Driving got started. You ever notice that?
Yes, indeed. And that's part of what I talk about when I work with my clients and students about their soul purpose sacred wound, their soul purpose mission, their soul purpose business, so that their business is a natural exhalation. It's a natural next generation of what their soul purpose path has already been leading to. And it has to come from the good and bad and the ugly of where they've been, because where they've been is who and what they have become today. So, yes, I have noticed it, and, in fact,
awesome.
I teach it.
Awesome. So what is your why, your personal why?
Okay, I was going there. My recollection is that I almost got there. So, I was born with a lot of health problems, so that by the time I was in first grade in kindergarten, I was already manifesting a lot of health issues. And to make a long story short, that carried through my entire adult years, especially when I got out of college and was looking to become a working adult, making my own income. And I was very sick with elusive issues that later on became revealed as autoimmune issues, and my glands and organs, some of them were not functioning properly. And so the impact was I had very poor stamina. It affected my moods. It affected my self-esteem. It affected my ability to be consistent. And the bottom line is I was always, not always, I was frequently fired from whatever job I was in.
Oh, wow.
Because I just could not function well. I would have to take off and go in my car and take long naps. I would show up late. I mean, I don't blame the employers for firing me. So mm-hmm. at some point, I got to the realization that I had to be in business for myself in order for me to make a living, so that I could have my own schedule and I could juggle things around depending upon what kind of intensity my symptoms were. And in that process, at all times, I was looking to heal myself. I was looking for answers. I was never just a Western medicine kind of gal. I definitely needed the alternative, more sensitive approaches to healing and balance. And so I actually had been healed of childhood asthma in my 20s. So I had asthma mm-hmm. from 6 months old up into my 20s.
Oh, wow.
I was healed of I was healed of that through acupressure. I was going to college up in Canada. I am American. I grew up in New York, in case people might not have figured that out. And I went to college in Toronto. And I found this extraordinary acupressurist, and I was treated by him once a week for 5 months. I was on 4 or 5 different drugs at that point for my asthma. And I looked at that bag of drugs one day and I said, I've got to get off of this. And that was in my 20s at that time. And that's when spirit led me to, in my intuition, call it what you will, divine intervention, I found out about this acupressurist. And that started me on the path of alternative healing. So when it became clear to me that I had to be in business for myself, the very first thing I studied was to become an acupressurist. And that was all in a bundle of trainings that I put myself through, because I was committed to healing myself, and I knew I had to not only approach the physical plane of health issues, but also spiritual and my programming. So in 1987, I was trained all at once in becoming a Reiki master, which is energy healing, neurolinguistic mm-hmm. programmer, a hypnotherapist, and an acupressurist. All that was my starting out of the gate self-employment palette, if you will, of skills. And it just evolved from there, where it became a natural desire on my part to help others. And I found how psychic and intuitive I was, and I was able to see clairvoyantly. I was able to see beings and so on. I also had some remarkable experiences as a sound healer, and that's that story is a little too long for this show, but maybe if we do a chapter 2. But the bottom line there was that I saw my ability to transform people's state with these tones, plus I could see spirit guides emerge when I was singing and so on like that. So the point is that why I got into all this was because I had to survive, and this was how my spirit, my soul, guided me. Now, after that, after the survival level was accomplished, then it became noticing the human conditions that people were suffering from. And it became apparent to me what my mission is in this lifetime. You included in the bio that my mission is to heal the heart of humanity. Yes, especially now. Look at what's going on in our country. United States probably worse than other countries, but not just the United States in terms of the absence of the heart. And so what became the next generation of my awareness of why I do what I do is I started to see that my mission was to help shepherd souls from injustice that mm-hmm. we inflict upon ourselves through self-sabotage, comparing ourselves to others where we put ourselves at the lower
yep.
end of the totem pole,
yep.
lack of self-confidence, lack of self-worth, not believing that we have the spiritual ability to create the life we want, and on and on. That's what I mean by injustice against ourselves, as well as helping in whatever way we can to help heal injustices out in the world. So I'm also a very strong animal advocate, and I'm also very politically involved. So when you look at the why I do what I do, inevitably from the most bird's eye view looking down, it is to have people wake up to the power that's within them, including the power to want to live exquisite lives, both in their businesses or career or income streams, as well as their household, their parenting, their relationships, how they get along with their neighbors, how they get along with the people at the grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. That is my why.
I love it. I love that. And so as we look back, can you tell me who you were before you got to that point? Let's go back, 10 or 15 years. Who was Sasha back then?
Okay, I know exactly what to tell you, because mm-hmm. there will be people listening to this show or the replay whenever that I am certain they will see pieces of themselves. Who I was 10, 15 years ago was a very sick person, a very sick woman, because mm-hmm. things were still very elusive. We did not know what was wrong with me. And so what I was, who I was highly gifted as a singer, dancer, actress. I was very gifted as a public speaker, as a writer. I was gifted in terms of being motivated and having vision and having courage and being fearless in a lot of ways, and yet not having the physical body connection to carry it out. So I was frustrated. There was a tremendous sorrow, a tremendous deep grief and worry about my survival, and a frustration. I never went into poor me. I went into what do I do about this? And that popped the question. That popped the question, why am I here in this lifetime? Why did my soul incarnate, or how is it that I was given all the possible ingredients to be a thriving, most likely global influencer, and yet my physical ability to carry it out was not just compromised, it was like stopped at the gate. And my life path has been unraveling that. So who I was that many years ago was frustrated, and because of the insecurities, I did not carry a lot of self-empowerment. Longer than 15 years ago, maybe 25, mm-hmm. 30 years ago, I was a combination of being very dynamic and out there in the world to the best of my ability. However, the flip side was I was very fearful of people. I was a doormat. I gave my power away. I was a people pleaser. Many people who know me today would never know that I came from that wounding, but I did. And so it was through all the things that I studied and my relentless work on myself that I have become what I am today. And who I am today is someone who is a business owner working the path like everybody else with a tremendous sense of self and self-confidence. And yet I'm very compassionate and loving and tolerant of people who are emerging. I am not tolerant for people who are malicious and don't have the impetus or the impulse to be compassionate. So my path definitely has a few trigger points of what is off purpose for me and what is on purpose for me in terms of the kind of people and the kinds of agendas that I surround myself with. Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm. I think it does.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so intent. I'm listening. I'm fully present. I'm fully engaged. And I love how in depth that you go. You know, it's not just, you know, dabbling on and on and on and on, you know, about nothing. Like, it's all relevant. A lot of times I listen to people and I'm like, get to the point. But everything you're saying is so on point and so relevant. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing. It really is welcomed. So looking back. Go ahead.
Can I just say something? I just want to say thank you for acknowledging the vulnerability and so on, because here's what's really important now, I believe, and that is that from my paradigm, from my spiritual paradigm, because, you know, the work I do for myself and what I do in my business for my clients and audiences and so on is to bring spiritual awareness into their businesses. Therefore, they have to go through a transformation, which you know because that's the whole point of your radio series, a transformation. And sometimes we do not know what to make of the parts of ourselves that are healing, the parts of ourselves that we want to hide from others, the aspects of our past that we are ashamed of, and I don't mean the big time things like having been sexually assaulted or robbed or divorced at the worst possible time in your life. Those are human conditions where a lot of people can muster up within them compassion for others. There is another layer of wounding of the shadow self, of the unprocessed parts, that the public may find less able to feel compassionate about. And those are people who lie, or people who are so insecure that they are misleading deliberately, or they have too much fear to really own who they are and where they've been in terms of smaller things like procrastinating or being impatient and snapping at people. It's a different cluster of behaviors that are still needing to be healed, and those tend to be the ones that people really don't want anybody else to know about them.
Right.
Or they never or they never do their laundry, or they don't vacuum their rug, or, you know, things like that, and they don't want people to come over. So where I'm going with this is that you pointing out that what I said was vulnerable is for me to say to all of you that now is the time for the vulnerability and the pretense, the facades, to actually fall away. Now, that does not mean that we talk about our life or we let people into our life without discernment. We must be discerning. We must use our intuition to make sure that what we reveal about our lives, our beliefs, etc., our homes, our physical homes, our families, are in good standing and in safe hands, so to speak, of the people who are watching or listening. However, the point is to not hate, not judge, not berate ourselves for where we've been, but focus rather on what we're going to do with where we've been, which I believe is a lot of what your work is.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I firmly believe that pain is never wasted, and everything that you're going through is preparing you for where you're going to.
Yep. Beautifully stated.
Absolutely. Yep. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly the moment of transformation? You said before when we were talking that, you know, you've had a couple kind of transformational moments, but speak about one that really sets you up, because when I was saying that everything that you're going through You know, I've been through so many different things that if I had I not gone through those, you know, my life would be completely different. So speaking about one of the transformational moments for you that set your life on the course that you're living now.
Yeah. Whoa. You know, it's interesting you should say that because there's another show host that wants to interview me and she wants me to come up with a particular breakthrough that I went through, and I haven't responded to her yet because I haven't been able to pinpoint one, you know, which is kind of like what you're saying. Okay. All right. Just give me 1 minute to think about that. Just 1 minute.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to say something that I've never told anybody before, but this is what my intuition is telling me to mention. I've had tons of breakthroughs and tons of the deciding moment kind of thing. However, the one that I am thinking of right now is the one that healed my heart, that touched my heart and opened up a level of compassion that I do not believe I was in touch with either as readily or as deeply. So would you like to hear that kind of story?
Absolutely. It's all about transformation on this show. Our transformational moments that set our course for our life.
Well, this that I'm going to describe to you didn't necessarily have that change of life course. I think the change of life course that maybe most people would relate to is when I was talking earlier about getting fired all the time from a boss, and then I made a decision from bosses, and then making the decision I've got to have my own business. So people can bookmark that as definitely a deciding moment, because that did change my course. I was fired one time too many, and that was it.
Yeah.
But this one that I'm going to tell you about was regarding my dog, who is now in heaven. She left in 2006.
Mm.
She was a pit bull. She was the love of my life. She taught me how to love. And I had never owned a dog before. She came to me through a relationship that I was in where it was obvious that the man was not going to be able to take care of her as well as I could, because she already had cancer at the time I met her in the 1990s. And there was a point, because I'd never owned an animal before. I mean, I was lucky if I could grow a plant, you know, let alone own a pet. In fact, I couldn't grow plants. They died. So this was a big time challenge for me to be responsible for another living being, plus a living being who had cancer, who I loved dearly. And there was this one moment where she would get into the garbage, and there was one day where she just strewn this garbage from the kitchen all over the house. I mean, coffee grinds and pieces of this or that traipsed from the kitchen all the way into the living room, and I yelled at her. Now, I am not a yeller. I just don't do that. And I yelled at her, and I'd been in her life for just a few months, so we were still new to each other, and she looked at me, and she turned around, and she walked right out the front door. And she sat at the far edge of our front lawn with her back to me, and I could feel, which I never knew I could feel this animal talking to me, and the power of the emotions, and it hit me right in my heart. I mean, it's like my heart broke open. And I called to her in a very loving way, and I called to her from I don't know how many yards she was, and I told her I was sorry, and she did not care. Her little ears didn't even go back to acknowledge that she heard me. Her little tail didn't do anything. It was as if she never heard me at all.
Wow.
And I went over to, and I walked over to her, and I sat down next to her on the grass, and I said, "I'm so sorry. It's just you can't do that in the house. You can't do that. But I'm so sorry. I promise you, I will never, ever, ever talk to you like that again. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And she looked at me, and she followed me back into the house.
Hmm.
Now, that hit me on so many levels. And, you know, I feel that that awareness plus the healing of my heart that took place, it opened up a whole treasure trove of information, of spiritual information within me about respect, about telepathic information, about other species, about...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when is it that we are going overboard and behaving in ways that are damaging and harmful for the situation? And it, all I can tell you is that the fruits of that experience went somewhere inside of me that continued to mold my character of who I am today. And what I know that clients say about me today is that I am able to see right into them. And that I am so patient and loving, and I see their future in ways that they don't yet see. And they say that my ability to nurture them and to have a container of wanting them to become the best that they can be, honestly, I really can see in retrospect that all of that got jump-started or got accelerated by that experience with Little Echo when she turned her back on me. And until I apologized and sat down next to her, not yelling from across the front door to, you know, X number of yards away, I really think that it opened a door into me that people feel. So that's my story for you, my dear.
Wow. That is amazing. I mean, it's just... Like you said, like the intuition, the intuitive, and oh, that is an incredible, incredible story. Again, thank you for sharing. And so the two-part question that I have for you, what was the best part about your transformational moment?
Was that, now, this is going to sound like I'm being cute, and I don't mean to. The best part was that I survived it. So here's another transformational scenario. Would you like to hear another one, which will
absolutely.
Which will tie in? Okay, because this one will tie into where you say the best moment, and my answer was that I survived it. So I went through another huge transformation in 2013 when I moved from Santa Rosa, California, up here to Sacramento. And the reason for my moving had a little drama to it. I had to leave. And I had to leave where I was living. And I had to throw things together and make a move to another city, you know, another part of California that I'd never been to before,
yeah.
Other than, I mean, as an adult. And I arrived at the end of 2013, and I moved, I think, 3 or 4 times. My entire household moved 3 or 4 times from December 2013 to March 2014. I had to move everything. That means boxing up, unboxing. It means getting a mover. It means moving boxes upstairs to my new home, blah, blah, blah. And that was a very challenging time. Plus, I had back issues and it all tweaked my back. So physically, it felt like I was under great duress. The reasons that I moved from those different locations, other than that first one, was because there was something toxic in the other homes that I moved into that could not be pinpointed, but I would get chest pains and the back of
really?
My back would be, yeah, my lungs were being inflamed by something. And even though we did mold tests and whatnot, it was too elusive, whatever it was. And so the inability to, and my face got all puffed up, and my hands and my feet, I'd wake up in the morning and I would just be all blown up. I was clearly allergic to something.
Mm-hmm.
And so being under that kind of physical attacks, so to speak, by something invisible was very confronting. And I finally moved into the final place that I'm still at in March of 2014. And the rigor of decompressing from all that adrenaline and all that physical discomfort and fear, because when you have pains in your chest and your back like that, it can be a little frightening. And yep. I kept asking myself, okay, what is the higher purpose of this? And it really was to revisit, why did I incarnate in this lifetime? What is it I want to do with this lifetime? Because I was so confronted, I was so pushed up against being in a physical body, that uh-huh. I had to find my why, just as you're saying, you know, what is your why?
Yep.
And so the biggest part of that transformation was that I survived it. I did find a home that I love, and I was able to start to climb up the mountain again and have my business get back on track and, you know, bring in even more clients that I love to work with and go deeper with what I teach my people. And that was the best part of that transformation, was getting to the other side of the rainbow, for starters, and then also that opening up a whole deeper level of information to teach people regarding their connection to their intuition, their commitment to their soul purpose in this lifetime, and their commitment to having successful businesses and to mm-hmm. go about it in a very precise, methodical way. That's my answer to that one.
That's awesome. So the two-part question is always two parts. So the second part is, what is the worst part about your transformation?
Okay, give
there's
me
always
a minute
a good
on
part,
that one.
Best part, you know what yep. I mean? Like, this is amazing, right? And then there's always that, stuff that we don't like to talk about. You know, like, this really sucked.
Yeah, let me just tune into that one a second. It hurt, you know?
Yes.
It hurt to lie in bed and look at the ceiling in a depression. It hurt
yes.
to take breaths and feel the limitations of my body where I felt pains in my chest and my back. It hurt to not be networking, not wanting to go out and be around people, just wanting to stay encased in my little cocoon, my home, for a couple of years, actually, with just my little kitty cats and my immediate neighbors. I mean, that hurt. That was scary, and that hurt. But it was like, on a deep level, I was being rewired. I was being recrafted to reevaluate some of what I was tolerating in my life. So the worst part of my transformation is that I needed to be transformed. That's the worst part.
Yeah. Perfect. That's what this show is all about. We highlight the transformational moments, you know, what was good about it, what was bad about it. What was that moment that set you on the path that you're on now? So awesome. So we never do it alone. I believe that there's always somebody that comes into our life for a reason, for a season, for a moment, for a long time, a short time. There's always somebody that comes into our path and either is still here, or has, you know, we just lost contact, or they passed away, or whatever, but has changed our life in some way. So who has been your biggest...
Oh, God, you're asking me a really, really tough question, because there were so many. Oh, my goodness.
Who stands out? Like, I remember this one person, or, you know, it could be the person who taught you, you know, all of the energy healing, or the Reiki, or the... could be... you know, somebody that you had met, one of your clients, somebody that really like influenced the way you think, the way you live your life, other than family?
Yeah, no, I know what you're asking, my friend. I do. the pregnant pause is that I'm backtracking over all the years of my life. Well, my there were two, aside from my parents, who I loved very much and I know who loved me and who are on the other side, two people come to mind. One was my, in elementary school, I had a music teacher. And I was a very unhappy child because all these health problems I had really had an impact on my emotions and my ability to just function in my human body. And I would tear out of my classroom, like in the middle of a class, the poor teachers that I had, you know, they didn't know what to think of what was going on with me. I would tear out of there and I would storm down to this amazing music teacher. And she'd be teaching another class and I'd knock on her door and I'd be sobbing and crying. And bless her heart, she was an angel. She was an angel. She would let me come in, she'd stop the class, and she'd let me sit and wait for her in another part of the class that had a door on it. And she would, you know, nurture me, and she would talk me, you know, she'd listen to what was upsetting to me. So she was my life raft for many years, as long as I was in that elementary school. She was my comforter. She was my sane balancer. And she saw the talent in me because I was the singer back then.
Yeah.
But she also knew my heart. She knew that I was just troubled. There, we didn't know why, but she knew I was troubled, that I wasn't a bad person, but that there was something wrong and we just couldn't find what it was. So that's one. The second one was my very first spiritual teacher, who I met in the late 60s, early 70s. And he saved me. I feel that spiritually he saved me because, again, I had all these health challenges and now I was out of high school and now I was trying to make a living. And all these health problems kept compromising me and I would have all these defeats where I had good intentions but all these breakdowns with my health. And he is still highly psychic, and he introduced me to the world of psychic phenomenon and astrology.
Wow.
and spirituality and beings on the other side. That's when I really started to understand my sensitivity to the spirit realm and being able to see spirit guides and so on. But he also, because of his own psychic intuition, he would tell me things about myself that helped me to hold on. And he became a very dear friend. I mean, he became a spiritual brother that just, it was love, you know. It's that expression of love heals all, or in the, when you are surrounded by love, you're able to blossom. That's what he was for me. So those are the
awesome
ones.
That's awesome. So
I hope you're
on the flip side of that.
I hope you're enjoying my journey here, because you're asking
I am fully enthralled.
Yeah, because I'm going deep.
Yeah. You are. I'm like,
I never told anybody about that situation with my dog. And,
yeah,
you know, these stories about my teacher. Yeah.
I'm a complete dog lover. Like, I love my dogs. Like, I'll get mad at them for about 0.5 seconds. Like, no, I'm so sorry. You know, like, I love my dogs, you know. I'm like I was the one that, like, always used to let our dogs sleep with us. I'm like, come on to bed. Like, they're our children. We already have children. My wife's like, get these dogs. Like, they're not your kids. I, like, carry them around the house, and I have, like, 40 to 60-pound dogs. You know? So, like, carrying them around. I'm like, they're lap dogs. Like, and then she gets mad at me because I always lick my face and whatever. I'm like, whatever, man, they're my dogs, you know. Like, I don't like cats at all. They poop in a box. That's what cats do.
Yeah.
But our dogs are awesome because, you know, I believe that they understand us. Firmly believe that they completely understand us. So, you know. But yeah, I absolutely love dogs.
Well, I'll if to the degree that you'll let me, I may be able to help you love cats too. However,
I'm not interested.
If you can get past the litter box part.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I have to confess, you know, to the listeners, I'm definitely opening up in ways that I don't usually talk about some of these things.
And I really, really appreciate your vulnerability. I really think that when you can be genuine, authentic, and transparent, the vulnerability, it becomes real. You know, like it's not forced. It just becomes real. And people identify with that. And that's what I love on this show. Like, we are real, authentic. We go deep. We go a mile deep and 2 inches wide. And I just absolutely love the platform that I can have to do that and meet amazing people like yourself. So I really appreciate you. So on the flip side of that, yeah, absolutely.
You don't, on the flip side, you don't appreciate me.
No. On the flip side of that, who has been your biggest supporter?
Oh, definitely my parents, my mom, and my father. Oh, yeah.
What you do isn't conventional. You know what I mean? What you do isn't, it's not conventional. It's not, you know, what do they call it? It's like woo-woo or whatever they call it, you know, with energy and crystals and, you know, whatever. Like, it's not the norm. It's not mainstream. It's not, I mean, kale salads and shakes are becoming the new hotness. You know what I mean? I'm assuming in the next 2 years, you know, there's going to be a lot more energy healers coming because they see the benefits of what you do. You know,
the reason that I said that my parents is because my father, bless his heart, did not understand that side of me at all. And it was hard on him, very hard on him, because I was definitely not like everything you just said, not a mainstream daughter. And yet he supported me and he did his best. We had a hard relationship. However, underneath that, his love for me always prevailed, especially not being able to make a living for so long because I was not well, and the elusiveness of it was so frustrating for everybody involved, especially me. So that's why I say my father and my mother, on the flip side of the coin, to use your expression, she was also very spiritually oriented. She taught yoga. She went to college to become a nutritionist. She had her own little meditation classes that she taught back on Long Island, New York. So she was a Renaissance woman in her own way. It's just she didn't make a living out of it, but at least she found that expression. And so when I started to emerge, she was absolutely by my side, encouraging me, respecting me, complimenting me on, you know, my gifts and how I was able to package these gifts to help people. So that's why I say my greatest supporters at that time, because at that time, I was the most vulnerable because I was young, but I was also the most vulnerable because, again, for the gazillionth time, the impact of these health imbalances really challenged me at my very core. And it was like a constant moment-to-moment deciding, am I going to champion myself or am I going to cut myself down? Am I going to motivate myself? Am I going to motivate myself and find the good and love myself to keep going, or am I just going to, you know, find some sort of way to sabotage myself and go into oblivion? And they were there in their own way. My parents were there in their own way to help me keep on. So now
I got goosebumps right now. Okay, so wait a minute. Yeah. So I love where you said, oh my gosh, you have two choices, and you specifically said you could champion yourself, or you could what?
Throw yourself under the bus, you know?
Love it.
Or you can,
I love it.
Yeah.
Those two things blew me away when you said that. I'm like, champion yourself. Like, I have two choices. I can champion my – most people are like, well, I can just sit here with my mailbox and my address and my hurt and my pain and just live in this crap, you know, or I can make something of myself and hoorah, hoorah, you know. But you literally are like, Like, that's it. Like, if anybody gets anything from the show, it's you can either champion yourself or just throw yourself under the bus and be like, I'm done. I'm just over it. You know, but either way, right. Make a decision. And that's what I got out of that. You know, but like champion yourself. Like, I love that verbiage, right? But what I got out of that moment was that you must make a decision. Whether you're just going to stick, because people stay in a stuck spot because of indecision. They don't know where to go. Like, they don't know where to turn. They're like turning in circles, and there's like 1,000 different roads you could take, and they're just spinning in circles like a top. You know, make a decision. Either you're going to say, I choose to live in this sucky life that I've created or that was created for me. I choose to be here, or I choose to live better. Either way, choose something.
Thank you so much for showcasing that, because that's another thing that my clients tell me that they appreciate about me, is that I hold the space for them to go into this intolerant area of their life that they tolerate, and to find the skills, to find the purpose, to find the self-love so that they uncork, they crowbar themselves, they de-suction cup themselves from this stuck point, and it gives them some movement. And maybe the movement is to slide back, but at least it's movement. And then they, you know, they have to choose again. So thank you so much for picking up on that.
I think you have the greatest vocabulary, because you just said unsuction cup.
Maybe we could put that on Wikipedia somewhere.
You have to, like, your own dictionary.
Sasha Sabas, October 20th, 2017. Right? Unsuction cup yourself.
Unsuction cup yourself. That could be the topic of your next book. Like, unsuction cup yourself.
Yes. Yes.
How would that be? Like, you have, like, literally, like, you know what you could do? You know what you could do? I already have the cover art ready to go. Here you go. You've heard it here first, folks. A side profile of two hands wrapped around a plunger handle, and the plunger is suction cup to their face. Like, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
We'll work on that one. But I love your passion, and thank you for the boost to consider writing that. I mean, that's the image I got.
Unsuction cup yourself? Who doesn't want a book that says that? Unsuction cup yourself. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Inward focused book, I would definitely buy. Like, literally, any inward focused book, I would definitely buy. That's just me. I don't know. I'm kind of crazy like that.
Yeah. So, I know. That's your path.
Right. So speaking of books and different things that we use, let's talk about some resources. So what do you think was the best resource that you've used during your journey?
Oh, God, you asked me these questions.
We have the hard questions on this show, if you haven't figured this out yet. So anybody who's coming on the show, you better be prepared, because I'm asking the hard questions here.
You know, I have to be honest with you, there was no book. What I think you're asking of me
any resource.
Yes, exactly. And I have to tell you that probably the most powerful, transformational, molding resource for me was when I realized I was a healer, and that I could transmit energies that could be felt across the world, and the impact that my transmissions that were coming through me from the spirit realms, what they did for other beings, meaning in this case I was thinking of a dog at the time, and my ability to have an uplifting, healing impact on somebody who was not even in my country was probably the resource that was the pivotal change in what I felt was my connection to this earth plane, meaning if I can do that, then I can survive the things that I have to deal with in this world.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Love it. Well, as we close, we always do a couple different things. And so as we close the show, we briefly talk about where you're headed now, and then we do a call to action and our best knowledge. So where are you headed now? What kind of new adventures, businesses, family, you know, what's on the horizon for you?
Okay. two things are on the horizon for me. One is to keep observing my best impact in our country, given the political aspects of what's going on, and to mm-hmm. find where I could be the best suited. Now, that's number one. Number two, on the business side, I'm getting ready to do the finishing touches up on an online course that will allow people to go into further development of their psychic intuitive abilities, mm-hmm. their ability to harness and understand and clarify and be mobilized by their sense of soul purpose, and to help teach them powerful ways to use energy so that they are more protected in life, and also they can use this energy to create more of what they want to create in this life. So this course that's coming up is going to start in about 2 weeks. I'm just doing the finishing pieces of how I want to present it, so I haven't even started marketing it yet. And that is going to be such an exciting thing for me to do. My plan is that it would be at the end of October, early November, and it'll take people into January so that they have this rich movement with which to enter into a new year. So that's where I'm headed.
Awesome.
As far as the political stuff goes, that's still very vague. I just know what my position is and I know what my role is, but the way in which it's going to be expressed is still unfolding.
Awesome. Love it. So this is the moment of the show before we close. Shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quote, your website, Facebook, your products. You can plug whatever you want. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug moment. Go.
You are so funny. shameless plug is, there are two things that are a call to action that I really would love people to do. Number one is to make sure they go to my website and sign up for my Soul Purpose Success Tip Series. And that URL that you gave earlier is entrepreneursoulcoach.com/success. This is case sensitive. Success is a capital S, lowercase, the rest of the word, dash tips. The T is uppercase, rest of the word, IPS, dot HTML. Because those tips are predominantly audio tips that will be emailed to you that touch upon these spiritual power tools of intuition development, energy broadcasting, and energy wielding, as well as deepening your understanding of your soul purpose and why it's important for people to have a sense of soul purpose. So that's plug number one. Plug number two, that's a freebie. Plug number two is to check out my membership page. This is a membership portal where I have two calls a month that gives you a chance to learn a new training about any of the topics that I teach upon. And the second call each month is for you to have the opportunity to get coaching and healing from me in a very intimate, high consciousness group of people. And the cost of that is only $197 a month, plus an archive library of trainings that go all the way back to 2014, where it was a new training per month. And this really gives people a chance to build their own library, their own like home study program of things they want to go deeper into, where there will be a teaching on a topic, plus there's an exercise and introspective segment, so you get to embody it. You get to listen and learn and then immediately apply it to your own life along with a companion workbook. So that's plug number two. And the way that people can check that out is to go to entrepreneursoulcoach.com/membership.html, and that M in membership is a capital M. The rest of the word is lowercase. That's where I think people, if you all feel any kind of interest in deepening your ability to empower yourself via intuition and energy and soul purpose, both the membership and those tips are a great place to start.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Okay, give me a second to tune in on that one. Oh, there's your little baby. I heard your little
one in
the background.
She just walked in, which means it's time to go.
Good timing.
Right?
My nugget would be that regardless of what challenges you may be facing in your life at this time, and regardless of what you see is happening around you in the world at this time, and regardless of how far you wish you would be and are not yet, despite all of those things, my invitation is for you to realize that the fact that you are here in this lifetime at this time means that you are up to big things, big learning for your own personal journey, and big impact to uplift and educate, inspire, and love with compassion those around you. So the bottom line is, please let yourself shine. Please let yourself shine.
I love it.
The end.
Love it.
That's it.
Nailed it. You said the end. You're like, the end. What a way to end the show. I love it. I love your energy. I love your vulnerability, your authenticity. I think it's absolutely amazing. And I hope that we stay connected. And I will enjoy following you on your journey from here on out.
Well, thank you. And I have a personal desire, as I really want to see the pictures of your kids in their Halloween outfits.
I'll be sure to post it. For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Yep.
All right.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Sasha, for being on the show. I'm blown away at what you have accomplished and what you do to inspire and elevate everyone's life around you. Thank you so much for your time and for being on the show.
Well, Sean, I just want to thank you for the space that you create, your energy, and the fact that you are, you know, you're very committed to what you do, and you do it well. And for those of us in business, you are a model, and I wanted you to know that that's how I hold you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, we will talk soon. Life Transformation Radio listeners.
Bye, everybody.
This is it. Bye. This is it. This is the end of the show. If anything has resonated with you, please go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, go ahead and rate and review the show. Let everybody know what you took away from this particular episode. Get in touch with Sasha Sabbath at entrepreneursoulcoach.com. I mean, there's so much there. You can email her at sasha@entrepreneursoulcoach.com. Look her up on Facebook. Her business page on Facebook is Your Soul Purpose Brilliance with Sasha Sabath. It's amazing. And I'm telling you that you have to connect with her. You absolutely have to connect with her. And go to, like I said, iTunes, subscribe, rate and review the show. I love reading the comments. I love hearing about what you guys took away from each episode. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you already hold in your heart. When you do that, you live your brand. So until next episode, have a good night.